Adam Sparks covers the Vanderbilt beat for the Tennessean, joining us now. Good morning, Adam.
How we doing?
We're doing well. And to you, sir, how are you doing?
I'm ready for a game, I guess. this is the crossover we always talk about. This is the baseball just started. Spring football's next week. New AD just got here, and basketball's going on. The difference in this and other Vandy seasons, though, is that basketball is not at the front burner, so to speak. I guess it will be tonight, though.
Well, and am I crazy? I know this team's lost 13 games in a row and just continues to add to the, I guess the program record would be one more. I don't think they're really that bad of a basketball team. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. They're not. Of the 13 straight losses they've had, they've either led or been within two baskets in the last 5 minutes of eight of those 13 games. So more than half of the games in the losing streak, you went into the last media timeout saying, okay, you can win this game. Now, you know, the more that's happened, the more you've believed that they're not going to win it. And there's something to the fact that they can't finish these games. I remember Auburn, I think, last Saturday. Teresa Walker and I were sitting there together watching it, and it got trimmed down to, I don't know, four or five or something like that late in the game. And we were both writing the same story. Okay, they're going to lose this game. And then it got cut close, and we both kind of said, no, they're not coming back. Let's just keep riding. They're going to lose, because that's what's going to happen, because we've seen it so many times. It would be unbelievable to this point, just based on the recent history, if Vandy was in a game late and won it. But really, the closest that they got to doing that was the Tennessee game. And, if not for the flagrant foul, the Grant Williams call and all that, maybe they pulled that one out. But you could also point to that Tennessee game that they end up losing in overtime and say everything that kind of sums up Vanderbilt's losing streak was shown in the last 2 minutes of that game of regulation. They had like two or three turnovers in the last couple minutes. They had some terrible shot selection. They got a bad call against them, but then not only did they give up free throws, but then they gave up another basket, so it was a four-point possession. And they just, I don't know if collapse is the right word, but they just don't seem to know where to go in the last couple minutes of game.
Adam, in your wildest dream, did you ever think Vanderbilt would have a season like they're having right now? I mean, you're with this team almost every day.
I mean, it's, you know, we were talking the other day about this is the biggest gap I can ever imagine of a team. You know, there was in the preseason, and obviously Darius Garland's injury has a whole lot to do with this, but you think about the preseason practice. I remember the first practice of the season back in October, Darius Garland said, you know, we think we can get to the Final Four. And then Bryce Drew came up and said, we don't want to just get to the tournament. We want to make a deep run into the tournament. And to go from that, which is, you know, I think it was legitimate to say Vandy was a top 25, maybe even better than that team, to now, you know, they could go 0-18 in the SEC. They certainly could do that. And to see that big gap in where they thought they would be and where they are is pretty shocking.
I just think it's amazing because there's some good players on this basketball team. And to see them without any wins now, we're getting to late February, I don't know what else to say about that.
Well, it's kind of a whack-a-mole type thing. You know, the whack-a-mole game, and they're terrible on defense, but they can shoot. And then suddenly they've gotten pretty good or better at half-court defense these last three games, and Bryce Drew has been really enthusiastic about, hey, we're figuring out defense now, but then they can't shoot. they can defend, but then the other night, I remember Bryce said, you know, we were really good in the half-court offense or half-court defense. If we could just take away those 19 turnovers and those 20 points off of turnovers that we gave up, I think the score would be different. Well yeah, it would be, but you still did that. Every time that they fix some little issue that bugs them, another one pops up. And, you know, that's an overriding issue with this team, is that they're never pretty good at everything in one game.
You know, but you look at, obviously, Neesmith, the way he's played. I know he had a big game against Tennessee, and he's now emerged as a guy I think you could depend upon for 20 and maybe 8 or 10. And Chatou, you know, I mean, he's got the NBA body, but I just don't think he's ready for the NBA, quite frankly. But, you know, you got a shooter, you know, the transfer from Notre Dame. You've got Saben Lee, who's, I think, more than a competent point guard. You got quality depth. Toy has been around and been a solid player in this league for, what, 3-4 years. That's the point. I just don't think that – I don't get where they can't close the deal a few times. But maybe that's it. They get there, but they just can't close the deal. And then at one point, you think, well, you know, how do you learn how to win? Well, you just got to win before you can learn how to win. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's just all the pieces – the pieces don't fit. So they need a lot of leadership. Well, this is a team that was put together with almost all new players. And, you know, their best player right now, as you mentioned, is Neesmith. He's a true freshman. Matt Ryan thought he was coming into a Darius Garland-led team and thought he was just going to sit out 25 feet and just jack up threes, which is what he should still be doing. But he head fakes and tries to get in the lane, and that's not the type of player he is. He's trying too hard. Joe Toy is a guy who is – best when he's kind of just quiet and in the background and a role player. He's trying to do too much now, but because they need somebody to direct them. Simi Chatou and Saben Lee up before maybe a couple weeks ago were their best two scorers, and both of them can't shoot. When your best two scorers can't shoot from outside of, you know, 10, 12 feet, that's a problem. Saben Lee has gotten a little better at that, but when your top two scorers can't shoot and your top two scorers are bad at the foul line. You know, all these parts, they just none of them work together. Neesmith is the only one right now that completely fits where he needs to be. And, you know, he's scoring, yes, but he has all the other intangibles that they need on this team. You can see it now that he'll be the guy next year, and he'll be the guy after that if he's still here, if he doesn't go into the draft before then. But he is that kind of – you know, you could see it even on defense and even in rebounding. He really wants to punch somebody in the throat. He has that chip on his shoulder that a lot of the other guys don't have, and they need more of that, but I'm just not sure that's in some of these guys.
Adam Sparks was the Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessee, and he is on Twitter, at Adam Sparks.
All right, Adam, enough basketball talk. Football now. last week, the announcement of Jerry Godowsky moving to offensive coordinator, a few moving pieces over there. I like it. I mean, on the surface, we'll see how it plays out this year. Of course, you got to get a quarterback in there, but I like the changes that Derek Mason did. It's a big year for him, fifth year coming up. Is that right? No, sixth year coming up. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, the prerequisite for whoever the offensive coordinator was going to be is that they had to be somebody that Derek Mason could work with. You know, his first year he hired Carl Durrell, who's a really good offensive mind, but they it was oil and water. They did not get along at all. And when he switched over to Andy Ludwig and he had basically a partnership, and they could bounce things off of each other, and they competed with each other in practice, offense versus defense. He had to know whoever was going to be the OC had to be somebody that he knew I have a rapport with, I can work with, and I'm not going to get any kind of friction or tension like I did with Durrell. And Godowsky, he's known him for years. He worked with him in the past. Godowsky's been on the staff, mostly a quarterback's coach, since Derek got here. So he knew I can work with this guy. We'll figure out the scheme later, but I can work with this guy. And so, you know, I think it'll be similar to what they've run in the past. I mean, they're still going to be heavy tight end. They're going to be pro style. But no matter who was the play caller was going to be, they're going to be more quarterback runs because all the quarterbacks they now have on the roster are guys that can run it. Kyle Shurmur could sling it anywhere, but he couldn't run.
Right.
And so they'll go a little more to that type of offense.
Did they lose – how many offensive linemen did they lose? I know they lost Bruno Reagan.
Bruno Reagan, their center. They lost their left tackle, Justin School, who may get drafted. And then they've got another part-time guard that they lost. They're going to have to rebuild their line, that's for sure.
Okay.
They'll move their right tackle to left tackle. They'll plug in a new center. They have a competition at guard. They're bringing in a graduate transfer from South Alabama. They'll mix in there. they'll be young, they'll be inexperienced, so that quarterback's going to have to run, especially when you get LSU and Georgia in the first 3 weeks of the season.
I see that. Also, so I'm going to go old school on you. I remember Lorenzo White played at Michigan State back in the mid to late 80s. They'd give him the ball 45 times a game. I see no reason they should not give Keyshawn Vaughn the ball 30 times a game, at least.
Well, you know, will he be durable? I'm not saying he won't be, but, you know, there was at least, off the top of my head, I think three games. Either he left or he was limited by an injury that wasn't like a concussion or something. It was a shoulder or a rib or something like that. Now, that may be freak things, and, you know, he had set out the previous year for a transfer, but I think there were some questions early in the year of, is he really good with 15 carries, or will he drop off significantly if you give him 20, 25 or more? Now, he showed in the against Baylor that it doesn't really matter. You can give him 10 carries and he can go for 200. So I don't know if that matters or not, but they will try that. They will certainly try it. I don't think they want to go through the criticism again of having a guy that's averaging 7 yards a carry and only getting 10 carries a game.
Vanderbilt baseball obviously goes out, takes 2 out of 3. TCU, Kumar Rocker, the number one rated freshman in all of college baseball, the pitcher. I saw where, yeah, actually the story I'm reading here, he got up to, what, 97 miles per hour, but didn't have that, you know, obviously he could throw. There's no doubt about it. I mean, but that team is this his best team? Let me just ask you quite simply. I got a feeling that he down deep thinks it might be.
Well, it certainly could be. I mean, you've got the mixture of, you know, this is the number two recruiting class in the country, and he's done that for a number of years. He's got two number ones and one number two, I think, recruiting classes that are now on this team. But he's got all that, which he always has, but then he also has, I think it's five seniors that are back. And so he'll have anywhere, when Patrick Raby's on the mound, they have as many as four seniors starting. And Tim usually has had guys that have gone to the draft after their junior year. It just by chance some of those guys came back this year. You've got older guys that have been there. You've got younger guys that are fighting for their positions. You've got a lot of options in the pitching staff. Yeah, Kumar Rocker was not good in his first outing. He'll be good. Give him time. But they brought Mason Hickman in long relief and pitched very well in long relief. He was the Sunday starter last year, Hickman was, as a freshman All-American. So they took a freshman All-American out of the rotation and put him in the bullpen. That's how good their pitching staff could be right now. And I think their lineup is even better. This could be a team that could get back to Omaha and do a whole lot more when they get there.
Obviously, the passing of David Williams. Spent much time with the new AD yet?
You know, his first day, I followed him around quite a bit, had an hour-long conversation with Malcolm Turner. You know, he is a guy that wants to get in and understand every facet of the university, of the culture. I'll explain it like this. He is a guy that when he went around on his first weekend and met all the different coaches and student athletes and a few fans and boosters and myself, he would go to them, he would see some kind of issue with a team or a facility or something, and he would immediately email notes about that to himself. Then he would walk away and email notes to that coach or that reporter or whoever else about what he thought the best parts of the conversation they just had was. And he does this all day. And he is a workaholic that really, really wants to get a lot of things done. And, you know, what – It's. I don't know if he'll have the old, you know, what he gets done in the first 100 days, but I'll bet once we get to about 6 months down the road, you'll see some things he'll implement.
Good stuff, Adam. Hey, it was good to see you last Friday, Adam, under the bad circumstances.
Yeah, those are no fun to cover, but nope. But you got to cover them anyway.
You are exactly right.
Tell Tommy D's, your new boss, we said hello, okay?
Well, I'll do it. If I have to go into the office, I'll do it.
And tell him we have the name.
I'm in the opposite direction. I'm head the opposite direction to Knoxville as fast as
yeah.
I can.
And tell him we have the name. If he ever starts writing a column again, we've got the perfect name for his column.
Oh, boy.
What's that?
Nah, I'm not telling the air. Hey, just know that we got it, brother.
Hey, Adam, just know that I do a show with a 14-year-old every day, too. So, anyway. See ya, Adam.
All right, guys. We'll see
you. All right, Adam Sparks, beat writer for the Tennessean. Adam.